Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown where we dive into the numbers that matter. I'm Alex, and with me, as always, is Jordan. Today, we're unpacking Walmart's first quarter 2027 earnings. And folks, this retailer continues to surprise on multiple fronts. Before we jump in, I need to share our standard disclaimer. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions. Jordan, Walmart just delivered their ninth consecutive quarter of 20% plus e-commerce growth in the U.S. That's remarkable consistency for a company this size.
Absolutely, Alex. And the headline numbers are impressive across the board. Consolidated revenue grew nearly 6% in constant currency. That's 120 basis points above the top end of their guidance range. What really caught my attention, though, is how they're transforming their profit mix. Alternative revenue streams like advertising and membership now represent about one-third of operating income. That's a completely different Walmart than we saw even 5 years ago.
Let's break down some of these key metrics. CEO John Furner mentioned they now have about 7,200 rollbacks in place. That's up 20% from last year. But the real story seems to be their speed game. They can now reach 60% of the U.S. population with delivery in 30 minutes or less. Jordan, what's driving this acceleration?
It's their omnichannel infrastructure finally hitting its stride, Alex. They delivered over 3.5 billion units same or next day globally this quarter. More than 36% of U.S. store-fulfilled deliveries arrived in under 3 hours. That's an 800 basis point improvement over just 2 years. And here's the kicker. Their AI shopping agent, Sparky, is seeing weekly active users up over 100% quarter over quarter, with customers using Sparky spending 35% more on average.
Speaking of technology, the automation story is fascinating. CFO John Rainey noted that about half of their e-commerce fulfillment center volume is now automated, and over 60% of stores receive freight from automated distribution centers. But they're dealing with some headwinds, too. Fuel costs hit them with about $175 million in unexpected expenses this quarter.
That fuel impact was significant, about 250 basis points of operating income growth. But here's what impressed me. They absorbed that hit and still reiterated their full-year guidance. Rainey was clear they're viewing this as a temporary cost to maintain their competitive position and drive market share gains. Transaction growth in the U.S. was their strongest in 6 quarters, so the strategy seems to be working.
The marketplace business really stood out. 50% net sales growth in the U.S. They're expanding this globally, too, launching cross-border marketplace capabilities into Canada and Mexico. How should investors think about this growth engine?
This is where the platform strategy gets exciting, Alex. They've built these capabilities once, and now they're scaling globally. Marketplace growth of nearly 50% combined with their Walmart fulfillment services seeing 150% growth in same-day and next-day units. It's creating a flywheel effect. More sellers attract more selection, which drives more customers, which generates more advertising revenue. Their third-party marketplace advertising revenues alone grew over 50% year over year.
Let's talk about the consumer environment, because there were some interesting insights in the Q&A. They're seeing a real bifurcation. Higher-income customers spending with confidence, while lower-income consumers are more budget-conscious. Rainey mentioned that gallons purchased at their fuel stations fell below 10 for the first time since 2022, which he called an indication of consumer stress.
That's a great real-time economic indicator, Alex. But what's fascinating is how Walmart is positioned for both scenarios. For stressed consumers, they're leaning into value with those 7,200-plus rollbacks. For higher-income shoppers, they're expanding general merchandise, improving fashion assortments, and adding premium private label brands. General merchandise comps were actually positive in the U.S. for the quarter, the first time merchandise mix contributed favorably to gross margins in 18 quarters.
The international segments showed some impressive momentum, too. Enterprise e-commerce grew 26% globally, and they're seeing particularly strong results in their automation and quick commerce initiatives. In China, they delivered over 500 million units, with 75% arriving in under 1 hour. In India, Flipkart is averaging 13-minute deliveries across 30-plus cities.
Those international numbers highlight how transferable their platform capabilities are, Alex. The build once, scale globally approach is really paying dividends. When you combine that with membership fee revenue growing 17% enterprise-wide and advertising growing over 30% across all segments, you can see how they're building more resilient, recurring revenue streams.
Looking at guidance, they're expecting second quarter operating income growth of 7 to 10% and maintain their full year outlook of 6 to 8% operating income growth, despite those fuel headwinds. What's your take on their positioning for the back half of the year?
I think the confidence in their guidance, despite external pressures, speaks to the underlying business momentum, Alex. They specifically called out that first quarter would be their most challenging quarter for operating income growth, with acceleration expected in second quarter and beyond. The incremental margins in their e-commerce business hit about 12% this quarter, which shows the operating leverage starting to kick in as these investments mature.
One thing that stood out in the Q&A was their approach to potential tariff refunds. Rainey said they'd prioritize reinvesting any refunds back into pricing for customers rather than dropping it to the bottom line. That seems to reinforce their long-term market share strategy.
Exactly. They're playing the long game, Alex. Even with fuel costs creating near-term pressure, they're continuing to invest in the customer experience, in technology, and in price competitiveness. That's the behavior of a company that's confident in its competitive moat and market position.
As we wrap up, what's your key takeaway for investors watching Walmart?
This is a company in transition, Alex. They're moving from being primarily a traditional retailer to becoming a diversified commerce platform with multiple profit streams. The combination of physical infrastructure, technology investments, and these higher margin service businesses is creating a more resilient and potentially more profitable business model. The execution has been remarkably consistent.
I agree. The transformation story continues to unfold, and the results suggest they're building something quite durable here. Before we sign off, Jordan has our closing reminder.
Thanks, Alex. Everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
That's a wrap on this week's Beta Finch. We'll be back next week with more AI-powered earnings insights. Until then, keep those portfolios diversified and those expectations realistic. That's all for today's earnings analysis. If you found this helpful, consider supporting Beta Finch on Patreon. Your support helps us upgrade our voices, cover more companies, and keep this show running. Visit patreon.com/betafinch to learn more. Thanks for listening.